The data is clear. Women and girls have been hardest hit by the pandemic. From losing jobs in the informal sector, unpaid care work, loss of schooling, a rise in forced child marriage, and the exponential surge in gender-based violence, among others. As Dr. Phumzile Mlambonguka explains.
From central banks, from governments, we have been told that the pandemic has hit women harder. Two-thirds of the jobs that we have lost were lost by women. Women have been thrown into extreme poverty in all parts of the world. Girls are dropping out of school, rather not returning back to school after the long period of school closure. And this is risking a lost generation that is engendered. So in order to fix these problems, you need women to be part and parcel of the processes that are looking for solutions and for relief.
She warned that even national task teams on COVID recovery were dominated by men, risking perpetuating practices that have now been deepened by the pandemic.
The fact that so many women lost their jobs during COVID, this is because the women have always been employed in low-paying jobs, in jobs that are not protected, where women do not have enforceable contracts, and it's therefore easy to dismiss them. So if we're looking about building back better, we have to make sure that women have secured jobs and have decent jobs.
Mlambonguka argues that women's leadership doesn't happen organically and must often be preceded by special measures such as quotas and targets. The latest Interparliamentary Union report on women in parliament shows that the global proportion of women in parliaments reached a record at 25.5%, with just three countries at above 50% representation: Rwanda, Cuba, and the United Arab Emirates. South Africa is at almost 46%. But women's leadership is complicated even further, as Mlambonguka explains.
The 22 women in the world that are heads of state, all of them have been harassed. And it is getting worse now because of what can happen in the social media. We have the vice president of America being trolled. I'm sure you've seen the trolls that she has been exposed to. You have the two prime minister and the prime minister and president of Estonia, same thing, facing the challenges. We know about the prime minister of Australia, what she went through in Kenya, the harassment of women from counties to national, and some of the women deciding that I cannot put my family through this, because when they suffer, their families also suffer.
Asked about her personal experience in leadership, particularly as a black woman, this was that exchange.
There is an expectation that you do not have the capability for the job. So when you are in the job, people can actually try to ignore you and marginalize you in your own position. It is therefore important to really know your stuff, to participate actively in decision making, and to always go to meetings prepared.
Have you felt personally undermined, particularly in your current role?
Not so much in this current role, but certainly in the role of being a politician in non-traditional areas, in minerals and energy, in trade and industry, as a vice president, where sometimes, in fact, most of the time you were a minority. You actually had to make sure that you are not a guest.
Asked about a recent Amnesty International report that says homes across Southern Africa have become enclaves of cruelty, rape, and violence for women and girls.
I'm afraid that with all the work that has been done, and I think it's fair to say that we've seen increased attention to the issue of violence against women and femicide, greater awareness, more resources, but you know, look at the statistics. We are clearly not winning. We still have a long way to go. So this is not the time to relax. We have to do more. We have to stay the course. I mean, I just don't know what more to say other than say we need everybody to be part of the fight.
I'm Sherman Brice-Pease in New York.